This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, July 28th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. Farm bill writers, grace time. Lawmakers lay out new farm bill positions and pesticide incident data now public. Farm bill future left hanging amid spending showdown. Lawmakers are starting their long summer recess, leaving behind fresh questions about the timeline for a new farm bill. House Republican leaders wanted to pass two of the 12 fiscal 24 bills this week, but had to punt on the USDA-FDA funding measure when they were not able to satisfy the demands of hardline conservatives for deeper cuts. The House isn't back in session until September 12th. It has only a dozen workdays scheduled then before the new fiscal year starts October 1. House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania acknowledged he's not going to schedule action on a farm bill until he's sure there will be time on the floor to consider it. Now, the story is similar in the Senate. The ranking Republican of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Arkansas Senator John Bozeman, says the appropriation process will take priority over the farm bill. The tyranny of the urgent is going to be getting the appropriation bills done, he said. Even though some programs in the 2018 Farm Bill expire September 30, as a practical matter, lawmakers have until 2024 before they need to pass the extension. That's when a 1949 law would kick in and require USDA to start taking steps and driving up dairy prices. Bozeman said, quote, "We've got several months of grace time." By the way, nearly 190 amendments have been proposed for the USDA funding bill. Some are likely to reappear again when the farm bill hits the floor, such as proposals attacking checkoff programs or sugar policy. That, according to House Ag member Dusty Johnson, South Dakota Republican, who's close to the GOP leadership. "I'm pretty confident that an overwhelming majority of the House is going to oppose more aggressive policy changes like that," Johnson says in an interview for AgriPulse Newsmakers. By the way, Newsmakers will be available today at AgriPulse.com. Lawmakers eye payment limits, whole farm expansion. Ahead of the recess, lawmakers rushed out a series of new proposals for the next farm bill. The new marker bills include a proposal by Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, that to tighten commodity program payment limits. Their bill would impose a hard cap of $250,000 on payments to a single farm operation and require recipients to spend at least 50% of each year in either farm labor or management. As for crop insurance, well, six Democrats on the Senate Ag Committee, including Brown, proposing a number of changes to the Whole Farm Revenue Protection Program that to increase participation in the crop insurance product. Among other things, the bill seeks to increase compensation to agents who sell the product while streamlining paperwork, raising the annual limit on farm revenue expansion, and expanding a diversification premium discount. REAP. Representatives Abigail Spanberger of Virginia, David Valadao of California, and Senator Tina Smith of Minnesota, they're proposing an increase in the cost share and some grant limits for the Rural Energy for America program, which funds renewable energy and energy efficiency projects. The REAP Modernization Act would also create a reserve fund for underutilized technologies and allow farmers and rural electric co-ops to apply for financial aid on a case-by-case basis. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Pesticide incident data available to public for the first time. EPA is making pesticide incident data publicly available for the first time. The information includes 10 years worth of reports on incidents involving adverse effects or product defects, to name two examples of the compiled reports. EPA touts the move as, quote, a major step to increase transparency, but the website housing the data also contains a warning. EPA says it has limited confidence in the accuracy and validity of the data because the data entries are reports of one or more individuals' perspective of what happened. Caution should be used when analyzing these data, as EPA does not guarantee the completeness or adequacy of the contents of the incident data system, the agency said. The data contains more than 62,000 incidents beginning in 2013. Mexico and China again drive U.S. pork exports in FAS weekly report. Mexico and China were again the largest destination for U.S. pork exports, that according to the latest weekly trade data released by USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service. The U.S. exported 23,800 metric tons of pork in the week of July 14th to 20th, including 8,300 tons to Mexican buyers, 4,200 tons to Chinese customers. Japan, Canada, and South Korea were other major destinations. U.S. pork exports for the previous week of July 7th to 13th totaled 25,300 tons. Mexico and China, again, the largest destinations. The U.S. shipped 8,000 tons to Mexico and 4,400 tons to China during the second week in July. Other destinations included Japan, Canada, and Colombia. Pork producers hurting with softer demand. Despite good news on exports, U.S. pork producers continue to face softer domestic demand coming out of the boost experienced during COVID and weaker export prospects, that according to a new report from Cobank's Knowledge Exchange. In addition to pressuring hog and pork supplies, the current market conditions are derailing hog producers' expansion plans, and even if the cost structure warranted additional production, demand is a part of the puzzle that needs addressing, said Brian Ernest, lead animal protein economist for Cobank. Ernest says backyard barbecuing has helped to boost domestic demand some, but longer-term retail prices need to return to a normal level to further support domestic demand. Finally, here's today's He Said It. I think it makes us less credible as a negotiating party that Arkansas GOP Representative Steve Womack, a senior Republican on the House Appropriations Committee on the Freedom Caucus, demands for deeper cuts in the FY24 appropriation bills. Womack argues that the cuts the Freedom Caucus wants aren't realistic and will weaken, not strengthen, the House GOP's leverage in upcoming negotiations with the Democratic-controlled Senate. In the Senate, Democrats and Republicans have agreed to stick to the spending caps in the debt ceiling agreement. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, July 28th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.